Okay, resuming Sefer Shoftim, Perek Vav. We're going to start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. The appearance of a Malach to Gidon. Gidon is about to be assigned his role as the one who will lead Klal Yisrael out of their troubles, the challenges, the oppression that they're experiencing at the hands of Midian. So the pasuk says, "Vayavo Malach Hashem," and the Malach of Hashem came, "Vayeshev Tachas Ha'ela," and it sat under the tree Asher Be'Ofra, that was in Ofra, Asher LeYoash Avi HaEzri, belonging to Yoash, the son of Abiezer, the Gidon Beno, and Gidon his son, Chovet Chitim Bagas, was smashing, crushing wheat kernels in the at the wine press, the Hanis Mifnei Midian, to hide his actions from Midian, that they wouldn't come and raid the threshing floor and take away his wheat. I want to just take a moment and share with you something related to this coming parsha that ties into this pasuk and into the story of Gidon in general. We have Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is ready to give the brachos to Ephraim and Menasseh, the children of Yosef. So, right as he switches his hands, the first blessing that he says, actually the pasuk describes it as a blessing to Yosef. The pasuk reads, "Vayivarech es Yosef vayomar," and he blessed Yosef and he said, "Ha Elokim asher hisalchu avosai lefanav Abraham v'Yitzchak," the God which my fathers Avram and Yitzchak walked before, "Ha Elokim haroe osi," the God who shepherded me me'odi hadayom hazeh, from my inception until today. And then the famous line, "Hamalach hagoel osi mikol ra," the Malach who has redeemed me from all evil, "Yivarech es hane'orim," he should bless the lad, "Yikarev ahem shemi," and call upon them my name, etc., and the names of Avram and Yitzchak, and they should be fruitful like fish. So there's an interesting medrash. The medrash says, on the pasuk, "Yivarech es hane'orim," he should bless the lad. Says the medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, who are the ne'arim, who are the lads? It's not only referring to Ephraim and Manasseh, but it's referring to two lads, two ne'arim that will come later to descend from Ephraim and Manasseh. The medrash says, "They're Yehoshua the Gidon." The ne'arim are Yehoshua and Gidon. Yehoshua from the tribe of Ephraim, and Gidon, who was from the tribe of Manasseh. And the Medrash brings the Pasuk to back this up. It's not quoted in front of me. So, the Sefer Nifla'ot Mitoras Hashem Yisbara. I don't know very much about the Sefer. I saw this quoted. I believe it was written in the 19th century. Scanning the Sefer very briefly, it appears to be that the author is trying to bring sources in the Torah itself for events that will later appear in Tanakh. This one's coming off of the Medrash. I'm not sure if they're all based on the Drashim and he's just explaining them, or some of them are his own ideas. But this one is a Medrash, and he's going to explain how Chazal saw in these Psukim any relationship to Gidon and Yoshua. The Sefer Nifla'os Mitoras Hashem Yisbarach. The wonders from the Torah of Hashem. And it's interesting. It's a 19th century work, but he writes inspirational. Like, you see again how nifladic, how amazing the Torah is. Again, how everything is predicted. So he asks, how did the Medrash know? Where did the Medrash get this from? That this that, where did the Medrash get this, that this had anything to do with Gidon and Yoshua? What, you know, the Pasuk simply understood he's just blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. That's been the Arim referred to in the Pasuk. Where does the Medrash see any relationship to Gidon and Yehoshua? He says it's true they come from Ephraim and Manasseh, but there were others who came from Ephraim and Manasseh. You have the Shofet Yiftach, was also from Manasseh. There were different kings of Klal Yisrael that were from Ephraim and Manasseh. So where the Medrash decide that it's these two Shoftim that would be referred to in this, if it's any descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, why Yoshua and Gidon? So he says, a little eon, a little examination, we can see that it comes out very beautiful. The lead up to the blessing, the introduction to the blessing, is Ha'elokim asher hisalchu avosai lefanav, the God which my fathers walked before, Ha'elokim haroe osi, and the God who shepherded me. This is Yaakov's blessing to Yosef, or to Ephraim and Manasseh. He introduces it with Ha'elokim haroe osi, the God who shepherded me, which he understands to mean provided for me. And then he leads in, Ha'malach ha'gol elosi, the Malach who redeemed me, should bless the Ne'arim. He has two shilohs, two questions on these psukim. First of all, the introduction, Ha'elokim haroe osi, the God who has shepherded me. What does that have to do with the blessing that he's going to give? For example, he says, if you wanted to bless someone who was sick, so you would say, Harofe Cholim, the one who cures the sick, he should cure the sick, right? You would the way that you refer to Hashem would be as the one who cures the sick, he should cure the sick. If you wanted to bless someone to have food and parnasa, you would say, the God who is Mefarnes, who provides for, he should provide for you as well. And really that's what we find in Shmona Esrei. We introduce each bracha in the other way around, but we say, you know, Hashem should forgive us, and then we call him the forgiver of Klal Yisrael. Hashem should cure us, you know, the one who cures Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael. But you wouldn't say, you know, the one who cures the sick, please provide for us. Or the one who provides for us, please, you know, cure the sick. So
this is where I got Yeshua from, because Yeshua was like the empirical leader.
That's not what he is going to say. So he's going to say that he understands the pasuk of Haroe Osi, the one who shepherds me, to be referring to, you know, you grazed me, you provided for me. So he wonders why would he introduce it, Hashem who provides for me, he should bless the Ne'arim, he should bless these lands. What does Hashem providing have to do with the bracha that he's going to give? That's his first question. And his second question is, why does it say, Hamalach hagol elosi mikora, the Malach who redeems me from evil should be mevarech the Ne'arim, to bless the land? Why not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself should bless the land? That's how he started. He said, Ha'elokim haroe elosi, you know, God who shepherds me. And then he goes in, he says, Hamalach hagol elosi. Why is he asking that the Malach should bless these lands? So he says, if it's referring to Yoshua and Gidon, so then it fits beautifully. Because the part where he introduces it, Ha'elokim haroe osi, God who has grazed me, who has provided for me, that's going on Gidon. Because that's what Yaakov Avinu was asking for. The bracha that he was giving to the descendants of Menashe, to Gidon, the descendant of Menashe, was food and sustenance. And that should be fulfilled in the time of Gidon. Because we know that that was what they needed in the time of Gidon. And through Gidon, they were able to get food and sustenance. We just learned in the last 2 weeks that that's the Midianites, they starved the Bnei Yisrael. If anything that would grow, they would raid, they would loot and destroy, and so that's what Yaakov was requesting, that Hashem should, Hashem who would provide, who grazed me from the day that I was born, who provided for me, he should be Mevarech in the same way he should bless the Ne'arim, the lads, referring in this sense to Gidon, should bless him in his time that they should have sustenance. And that's already a reference to Gidon. And as for the second point, HaMalach HaGolel Osimi Kora, the Malach who redeemed me from all evil, that's referring to Gidon, because we find Gidon and Yehoshua, we find that both Gidon and Yehoshua had a Malach appear to them. We don't find this by any other Shoftim, that they had a Malach appear to them. And...
That was his mother.
Right. Oh, so he barns that. He asked that question, and right, you're thinking of Shimshon?
Yeah,
so Shimshon also, there was a Malach, but it did not appear to him. That appeared to his father, actually. At least that's what he said. Maybe to both. For sure to his father. Manoah. But,
Father?
It could be, I think it happened twice. So I think maybe one time it was just the father and one time it was both. Not sure. When we get there, in a few months. So here we have, we just read the Pasuk Yir Aleph, Vayavo Malach Hashem, and the Malach of Hashem came, so we have a Malach appearing to Gidon, and therefore the blessing was Hamalach Hagoa Osi, the Malach that has redeemed me, Yivarech Hasanarim, should bless the lads, that the Malach who appears to these lads, the one to Yehoshua and the one to Gidon, should provide blessing, should bless Gidon, bless the descendant of Menashe, and I guess set him up to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, as we're going to see play out. So we also mentioned last week, we read a Rashi. Let's read another couple of psukim, and we'll get back to this. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayera Elov Malach Hashem, and the Malach of Hashem appeared to him, to Gidon. Vayomer Elov, and he said to him, Hashem imecha gibor achayo, Hashem is with you, strong one. Saw that Gidon told his father, you go inside, I'll stay and thresh the wheat, and if the Midianites come, I'll take them on, or I'll run. Act of strength and act of kavod for his father. And Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Elav Gidon, and Gidon said to the Malach, Di Adoni, please my master, or tell me my master, V'yesh Hashem imanu, is Hashem with us? V'lama mitzah asnu kol zot, why has all this befallen us? V'ayechol nifloosav, and where are all his wonders? Asher sipru v'anu avoseinu lemar, that our fathers have told us, lemar, to say, halo mi mitzrayim helanu Hashem, from Mitzrayim Hashem took us out. V'ata anel nitashnu Hashem has abandoned us, Vayitineinu b'kach Midyan, and he handed us into the hands of Midyan. So Rashi tells us, Rashi quotes the Medrash, says Rashi, Pesach Haya, this happened on Pesach. The Medrash will learn this out from the Karban Mincha that he's going to bring Pesach haya, it was Pesach. Amar lo, he said to him, Amesh hikarni abba es ha-halel. Last night, yesterday, my father read Hallel to me at the Seder. V'shamati v'shahaya omer, and I heard him say, v'tzeis Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, when the paragraph that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, about the miracles of Mitzrayim, v'yato nitashnu, and now Hashem has abandoned us. And he said, one second, im tzadikim hayu avoseinu, if our fathers were tzadikim, were righteous, so then yaseh lanu b'zchusam, Hashem, you should save us in their merit. V'im rishayim hayu, and if they were rishayim, so k'shem sha'asa lahem nifla osav chinam, just like you were willing to perform miracles for them, even though they didn't deserve it, even though they were rishayim, King Aselano, he should do the same to us. The Aye Koni for the Osav, and where are his wonders, where are his miracles? Why isn't Hashem saving us? And we'll see. Medrash says that the response to Gidon is you've been Malamed Zuchus, you've brought out merit for you've represented Klal Yisrael, so you deserve, you've done something deserving to be a leader. And now you can be designated as the leader. The David Cohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, asked an interesting kasha, an interesting question on this Rashi. He asked, and I guess it's also on the, is it on the Medrash? There's a number of different Medrashim. The one that I have in front of me, it doesn't say it this way. I'm not sure if this is Rashi or this is just another medrash that Rashi is quoting. But the way that he says it is, he says, Amesh Shikani Abba Sahalo, last night my father read Hallel to me, and it said, B'tzeis Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. So Rav David Cohen asks, why is he bringing in Hallel to be like, what's his question? What's his demand? His demand is, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and you did that, you know, if they were tzaddikim, so then he should be saved in their merit, and if they were rishayim, so just like he saved them, he should save us. That was his question, right? So why is he mentioning Hallel? Why, they read it was the Seder last night. What's the mitzvah of the Seder? Deeper Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? The God's living chabayom alaymar, right? You should. I saw someone makes the diuk in the pasuk. He says, "Asher sipru lanu avoseinu leymar," that our fathers told over to us leymar to say. And that was like a reference to the God's living chabayom alu leymar to say over. But anyways, Rav David Cohen asks, why is he bringing in Hallel? Last night we were at the Seder and we read Hallel, and it said, he took us out of Mitzrayim. Last night we were at the Seder and we told over the story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the mitzvah of the night. Why does he have to bring in that we read Hallel? Why is that important to Gidon's demand? So, to say, last night we said the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he gives a very fascinating answer based on something the Briska Rav writes about on the Haggadah. Remember this for El Pesach. In the Haggadah we read, it's really a Mishnah, the Mishnah in Pesachim. It's that we read, B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam liros es atmo kivu hu yatsam mitzrayim. In every generation, a person is required to see himself as if he left Mitzrayim. And then shortly after that we say, L'sika, therefore, Anachnu chayavim lehodos lehallel, therefore we are obligated to give thanks and to give praise and to give shira. And the question is, on the Mishnah, on the Haggadah, how does one follow the other? Why is it that the whole Dar Vadar in every generation we're obligated to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim? L'fikach, and therefore we're obligated to give praise. Why is one a result of the other? So the Briska Rav answers based on Aran and Pesachim, based on something the Ran quotes from the Gaonim, that there's two two dinim in Hallel, two types of Hallel, really. One Hallel is the Hallel that we say on all the Yomim Tovim. That everybody says Hallel on those Yomim Tovim. The second Hallel is a Hallel that of Shira, of praise of Hashem, when we are saved or when we're redeemed from some type of tsara, some difficulty. And the difference between the two is that this, the Hallel of the Yom Tovim, anyone can say. But the Hallel of Shira, thanking Hashem for redeeming us from a tsara, from a difficult situation, only the person who experienced that tsara, that challenge, that pain, is allowed to say that Hallel. Not for someone else's geula, not for your friend's redemption. So, what about the Hallel that we say Seder night? That's not one of the regular 18 days of Hallel. That's not a regular Hallel. It's not one of the morning Yom Tov Hallel. That's a Hallel of thanking Hashem for redeeming us from a tzara, from a challenge. So says the Brisker Rav, that's why we first have to be maxim. We have to introduce it with the word, in every generation, we're obligated to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. Once we've said that, once we start to feel it, we feel like this isn't just a redemption that happened, you know, thousands of years ago. I see myself even now as if I was redeemed, as if I was saved. Once we're in that frame of mind, once we see ourselves as experiencing that redemption, so then now we can continue and say, Lefikach, therefore, we are chayav, we are obligated, lahodos lahalel, to give thanks and praise to Hashem, who saved our fathers and who saved us. That's what the Brisker Rav says on the Haggadah. Based on this, the Dalai Kohen wants to answer our question in Rashi. And the question was, why is Gidon saying that last night we read Hallel, and we read that B'tzeis Yisrael and Mitzrayim, on Hashem Tekasar Mitzrayim, we read about the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Hallel. The mitzvah of Leil Pesach is Sifur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's where we talked about the miracle. That's where. Why does he have to mention Hallel? So, based on this idea from the Brisker Rav, now we can understand. Because Gidon's whole taina, his claim, his way of advocating on behalf of Klal Yisrael was that in the past, you know, Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim, and now you've abandoned us. And if we were tzaddikim, if they were tzaddikim when they left Mitzrayim, so on that merit, you should save us now. And if not, then save us as well. Either way. So, says Rav David Cohen that if not for the fact that we can say that the whole Dor Vador and every generation where we see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, so what exactly is the connection between now and Yetzias Mitzrayim? One has really nothing to do with the other. Why? Because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, why does that mean that he should save us now? But if last night we read Hallel, and in order to read Hallel, that means we have to see ourselves, that means that we are obligated, and we do see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, so it must be that Geula, that redemption, still is continuing on, is perpetuating, even in our time, even in the time of Gidon. So it says Gidon, last night we read Hallel. We saw ourselves, we declared that we see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. And if that's the case, so then Lama Natashnu, why have you abandoned us? It wasn't a one-time thing. This was supposed to be ongoing, be perpetuating, even in our generation. So Hashem, why have you abandoned us? The Navi continues, Pasuk Yud Dalid, Vayifeng Elav Hashem, and Hashem turned to him, Vayomer, and he said, Lech b'cho chacha zeh, go with this strength, or this merit, So Shatas Yisrael Mikach Midyan, and save Bnei Yisrael from the hand of Midyan. Halo Shalachticha, behold, you are sent. Pasuk begins, Vayifeng Eilav Hashem, and Hashem turned to him. So different Rishonim take different approaches as to what these words mean. Rashi simply understood it was Vayifeng Eilav Hashem, Hashem turned to him. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'atmo, Hashem himself. That up till now, it was a Malach, maybe it was Pinchas, a Navi of some sort, speaking to Gidon, and now that Gidon has shown that he deserves it, he's shown merit, so then Hashem himself turns to him and he has an actual Nevuah. The Malam also learns that way. The Rabag, on the other hand, says that no, this was still the Malach. Whoever was speaking to him before is still the one speaking to him. The Rabag has two reasons why he insists on this approach. First reason is that, as we read the Pesukim, we'll see the Rabag says that it was clear that all these events happened while Gidon was awake. And if he was awake, then he wouldn't have experienced a real Nevuah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu experienced Nevuah when he was awake. And so it can't be that this was a real Nevuah. And furthermore, we'll see that Gidon's going to ask for certain signs that the message is true, the message that he's receiving is true. And if he was really experiencing a Nevuah, then he wouldn't need that. He would be able to rely on the Nevuah. He wouldn't need any sort of oath, any sign to prove that what he was being told was really what was going on. We'll see, perhaps, an approach in the Malbim that will deal with that second proof. We'll see an approach that explains why, even though he was having a Nevuah, he was still asking for an oath, for a sign. As to his words, Leich b'chochacha zeh, go with this strength, go with this merit. I translate in both as strength and merit because those are the two approaches of the Rishonim. Rashi, quoting the Medrash Tanhuma, learned b'chochacha zeh means with the strength of your merit that you were a melamed sanigoria abonai, that you acted as an advocate for my children, as we learned in the previous Rashi, that in the previous Pasuk, that he defended Klal Yisrael and said, remember Mitzrayim, either way, if we should be redeemed on their merit, saved on the merit of those who left Mitzrayim, or if they didn't deserve it, then just as they didn't deserve it, then we should also, even though we don't deserve it, we should be saved. So that would be the merit of Gidon that he's sent on, that he's given the mantle of leadership because of his ability to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And the other approach here is that of the Radak and the Rabag, that it's Koach Mamish, really actual strength that now when he was appointed, he was instilled with additional physical strength. And Hashem tells him, or the Malach, the Navi tells him, Leich b'chochacha zeh, go with that strength and go save Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Tesvav, Vayomer Eilav, and he said to him, Gidon responds, Be Ado. Shem, that name, that word, we'll see somewhere in that like it's actually referring to Hashem. Others say no, it's chol, it's mundane. He doesn't know who he's talking to. He thinks he's just talking to a man. Bamo, she asked Yisrael, with what can I save Klal Yisrael? Hine alpi hadabim Menashe, my troop of 1,000 is the weakest of all the tribe of Menashe. Vanochi atzoyer b'veis avi, and I'm the youngest in the house of my father. I'm not strong. I'm not fit to to lead Klal Yisrael, or our group of 1,000 is the weakest. How are we going to save Klal Yisrael? Bamo, she asked Yisrael, the Malbim explains, he was asking, he was assuming that it would have to come about in a natural way. Because Gidon believed that he was still being spoken to by a messenger of Hashem. And the Malbim explains that when Hashem sends a malach to lead Bnei Yisrael, so that means that it's going to happen al derech hateva, natural ways. Just as when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, it was natural. It was in battle. It wasn't an open, obvious miracle. So that's what Gidon expected, because he believed that it was a malach that was speaking to him, and therefore that's how the salvation will come about, through a malach, which would mean a naturally fought battle. So he says, "Bamor shi'as Yisrael, how are we going to do that?" Pasuk tezayin vayomer elav Hashem, and Hashem said to him, "Ki eya imach, because I will be with you. Nikisa es midyon ki ish echon, and you'll hit midyon like it's only one man." Then no, it won't be through natural means. It won't be derech hateva. You won't need a great army. I will be with you. I, Hashem, I myself will be with you, and you'll be able to hit Midian as if they're, strike Midian down as if they're only one man in a miraculous fashion. Pasuk Yodzayin, Gidon responds, Vayomer Evav, and he said to him, Imnama tzasi ching beinecha, please if I'll only find favor in your eyes, de'asisa li oath, make for me a sign, sh'ata medaber imi, that is you, Hashem, who is speaking to me. Imnama tzasi ching, the Malbim explains, is similar to the same language that Moshe Rabbeinu used. The Malbim here offers two different approaches as to why Gidon was asking for a sign. I think this week we'll have time for the first approach. The Malbim says that Gidon was a little unsure as to what was going on here. First it seemed to be a malach, a messenger speaking to him, then maybe he was having a nevuah. He says, how am I going to be saved? If it's a malach, that means it's going to be in natural ways, then how are we going to accomplish this? Hashem responds, no, it's going to be, I'll be with you. And now it's Hashem speaking to him. So he's not sure what's going on here. If it's going to be through a malach, if it's a malach speaking to him, so then he's going to need a great army. But if it's Hashem speaking to him directly, so then if Hashem is going to get involved directly, then it doesn't matter whether it's a large army, a small army, then the salvation will come through miraculous fashion. So that's, says the Malbim, that's what he's saying, Imnama tzasi chen be'inecha, if I'll find favor in your eyes. That's chen, chanina, grace, that's the language used when Hashem himself is going to walk with him. For example, we find Moshe Rabbeinu said the same thing. Imatasi chen be'inecha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, after the egel, after the sin of the golden calf, if I'll find favor in your eyes, yelechna Hashem bekirbeinu, Hashem, you should walk among us. Hashem, after the egel, had said, that's it. I'm going to send a malach with you into Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be me. Moshe davens, no, grace us. And uses this word chen. If we find chen in your eyes, grace in your eyes, yelchna Hashem bekirbeinu. Hashem, you yourself should go with us. And later, Moshe Rabbeinu continues there. He says, ubame yivadai, oh, how will I know, ki matasi chen beinecha, that I found favor in your eyes? Halo belechtecha imanu, if you go with us. That's an example of chen. So Gidon here is saying, if I found favor in your eyes, and it's going to be you, Hashem, will walk with us, and the salvation will come in a miraculous fashion, So then, v'yasisa li os, make for me a sign that you're the one who's speaking to me. What's the sign going to be? So, Gidon is going to bring a carbon, and if the carbon is accepted, so then he'll know that it's Hashem speaking directly to him. The Malbim explains here that you can have a malach, which is just an intermediary, a shliach, a messenger of Hashem, and you can have a malach who is, in his lashon, mislabish ha'ofah ha'elyona ba'atma. Somehow it's Hashem himself speaking through the malach. Malach is just covering up Hashem himself. So how will he'll Gidon know if it's the malach speaking to him as an intermediary or if it's Hashem speaking to him directly? So he's going to bring a mincha, he'll bring a carbon, a sacrifice, and he'll know if it's just a messenger. So then, he won't accept, a messenger of Hashem, an intermediary, will not accept the karbon. The pasuk says, Ki zoveach le'Elohim yacharam, some of you brings the karbon to an Elohim, to a different power beyond, outside of Hashem. Something that Hashem has put into existence, obviously, but it could refer to malachim, the word Elohim, it could refer to Avodah Zarah even. So, in fact, in the Parsha of Karbanos, Nefesh HaChaim says you never find the name Elohim, that name of Hashem. It's always the name of Adonis, Havaya, Shem Hashem. Because Zoveach Elohim Yacharam, if there's any, if it even looks like maybe it's being brought the Karban's being brought for a different power, for a different Koach in existence, so then Yacharam, he should be destroyed. The first thing who brings that carbon. Bilti l'Hashem levado, the pasuk says. He should only bring it to Hashem. So if this was an intermediary, so then he would never accept the carbon. Either he just won't take it, or he'll eat it, but he won't consume it in a fire. However, if it was in fact Hashem acting through the malach, so then the carbon would be consumed by a fire. And that way, Gidon would know if it's an intermediary speaking to him or if it's Hashem directly. He would know if the words of the Malach were true, that Hashem is going to walk with him and that the salvation will come in a miraculous fashion. And Kachava, that's how it will play out. We'll see in the next psukim that the carbon will be accepted. And that's how Gidon will know that the salvation will come in a miraculous fashion. And that's why Gidon asks for a sign, for an oath. He's asking for this sign in order to know. He's confused. Is it an intermediary? Is it Hashem speaking directly? The oath, this sign, is going to show him which one it is, and ultimately will show him that it is Hashem himself speaking to him. And next week we'll see the Malbim has another approach as to why Gidon asked for a sign.